council thinks there is a permissible area or an area that would work for this, you do an overlay zone on that, and that's where that growth of that business would exist. But you take a look at what the impacts are to the other types of uses, such as daycare, such as Sunday school, whatever you want to look at, that's a local level regulation that would be within your purview.
How would that pertain to city-ran facilities, like community center for camps?
That would be another one of those local regulations as well. If overlay. You wanted to put an overlay that does not involve that particular area, that's something within your purview.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm very eager to get out to public comments, so I'm going to defer my other questions, but Councilmember Funk has what she promises is an extremely brief question.
Yes, I wanted to ask if you could briefly characterize the customers, because a lot of our concern is what's the customer traffic coming in and out of these stores, and is it are these people that are likely to be problematic to be near churches or daycare centers or within several hundred feet of a residence, that kind of thing?
I don't know that I can answer it accurately on kind of a speculative customer for what would happen in Atascadero. I will tell you that when Solvang was going through its process, the community development staff and myself visited a number of the dispensaries, and apparently the largest growing population was people over 65 years of age. They were coming in, and while we were in the dispensaries that day, it may have just been the time of day that we were there. That was my personal observation. Now, can I say that will apply to Atascadero? I don't think there's any way to predict that with any kind of certainty.
Okay. Thank you. And Leslie, was the industrial area along Traffic Way under current rules be something potentially where a facility could locate?
Any zone that allows for commercial land use, you can modify that zone to allow either an overlay zone or you can modify it to add this to that particular list. Yes.
Okay, because just
have retail sales.
Just for a moment of levity, I can't resist the thought of Atascadero hay and weed.
All right, thank you. And I think if we move forward, there'd be plenty of time to talk about some of the details of some of these questions. I'm very eager, as I said, to hear public comments. So if you remember the public would like to comment on this issue, please go ahead and line up for the podium. We'd love to hear your comments. So we'll begin, Mr. Oslin.
Good evening, Jeff Oslin. I'm torn. And I'm torn because I have been in Megan's in San Luis to buy cannabis for one of my dogs because it was a third of the price there versus going to a pet store. So although I don't partake, I know older individuals that do partake in gummies or others, and it seems to help them for different reasons. If this was $1 million in tax base and Paso didn't have a cannabis dispensary, I think we should go for it, period, end of story. But if Paso is going to change their mind and actually put one in, then we have one in North County, and it is what it is. I think that if we're stealing tax revenue from the city of San Luis Obispo, it's always a good thing because we should put our tax revenue in North County and especially here in Atascadero. And $1 million in tax revenue would make sense because that could decrease some of our sewer rates. But on a serious note on this, I'm very torn. I mean, I have a 8-year-old at home, and I'm always worried about access at school, older brothers or whatever, but people are already buying cannabis. They're going to San Luis, they're going to Morro Bay. I run my business route every Tuesday through Morro Bay in San Luis, and I see two dispensaries. There's always a guard at both of them. They're clean establishments. I don't think it brings in a wrong crowd. I just worry, where the access is and what's seen and what's visible and how to explain it, kind of like our homeless population when they're hanging out on 41. The unhoused is how do you explain it to your daughter? So, again, I'm torn. I think there's some benefit. Does it outweigh the negative? I'm not sure. But on the other end, when you're talking Morro Bay is in financial dire straits. They have been since the power plant closed. So you want to tell me, please, how we would have a burden on our city on staff if Morrow Bay doesn't have it? I think that's an unfair comment based on a city that has 10,000 residents versus ours that's close to 30,000. If Morrow Bay can do it, we can do it that way. So I leave it at that.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Brett Boyle. I've lived on the Central Coast for most of my life. I've worked at Atascadero State Hospital for 25 years. And in that 25 years, I saw a lot of violent incidents. Usually we can get a call in the unit and said, hey, can you send the biggest guy? I was usually the biggest guy. So I got to see a lot of that stuff. Anyway, I suffer from PTSD. Managing PTSD is a daily challenge. And I found that cannabis products, specifically those I purchased from Megan's Organic Market in San Luis Obispo, help me cope in a healthy and effective way. The products they sell are consistently high quality, responsibly sourced, and the staff are knowledgeable and compassionate. Right now, I have to drive down the Cuesta Grade every time I have to visit their store. That drive can be difficult, especially for seniors and others in our community who rely on those products for pain, anxiety, or other health-related issues. Having a Megan's Organic Market here in Atascadero would save time, gas money, and make life easier for a lot of us in North County. Beyond the personal benefit, I truly believe that having a dispensary downtown would be good for Atascadero. It would bring responsible, steady foot traffic to our downtown area, people who might also stop to grab lunch, visit a shop, or support other local businesses. Megan's Organic Market has proven itself to be a professional, community-minded company in San Luis Obispo, and I have every reason to believe they'll be the same here. I urge you to approve this project. It's good for residents, good for local business, and good for the community as a whole. To answer a question one of the councilmen had earlier, why would people choose to go to a store instead of having it delivered to their house? I go to the store for the same reason I go to the supermarket, because I want to see the selection. I don't want to have to pay a delivery fee and tip the delivery driver. The tax is outrageous on marijuana products right now, and you add the delivery fee and tip for the delivery driver, which you're kind of obligated to do, it makes it a lot more expensive. So that's why we don't use the delivery service. Thank you for your time and considering the needs of people like me who call Atascadero home.
Thank you for your comments and thank you for waiting. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Ron Overacker. I'm the president of the Atascadero Police Association. The APA represents the sworn officers and public safety dispatchers who protect our community. The APA is not opposed to the retail sales of cannabis, while we respect those who oppose retail sales on moral or ethical grounds. There's a concern that allowing retail cannabis sales will create a burden for the officers in keeping the community safe. The cities of Morro Bay, Grover Beach, and San Luis Obispo have already allowed retail sales and do not appear to have suffered any appreciable increase in crime, although those communities do have an increase in income derived from cannabis sales, which has funded their public safety programs. I know the chief has shared the facts regarding the crime rates. Still, as an association, the perception that allowing retail cannabis sales will somehow increase crime has not been our experience. And personally, for every one DUI arrest I've made due to cannabis, I've made 50 due to alcohol. That said, the proposal does place a burden on the police department to regulate these types of businesses properly. The need for additional law enforcement collaboration and monitoring may distract our staff from their regular duties of protecting the community unless further funding for sworn positions is allocated. The association's concerned that, as if approved, this burden would be absorbed among existing staff. We would hope that the increased responsibility for overseeing these businesses would remain with our police department with appropriate funding for in-house staffing. I was encouraged that, if approved, the staffing analysis would be completed as part of this proposal. And fortunately, there appears to be more than substantial revenue gains to offset the additional staffing costs associated with approving retail cannabis sales. Our city has demonstrated its commitment to public safety by increasing police staffing levels and service following the passage of the sales tax measure D20. I remember that many citizens opposed the sales tax, believed that the increased revenue would not go towards public safety, but that just was not the case. And in the same way, we believe that the income generated from retail cannabis sales would provide another funding source for public safety and essential city services, provided that a portion of the revenue is allocated for sworn personnel to collaborate and monitor these businesses effectively if approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Overacker. Next speaker, please.
Council and staff, my name is Mike Zappas. I live on El Camino here in Atascadero and have for 30 years. I just want to thank you for getting the public comment on this. On Mr. Dunsmore's overlays, I just noticed that the downtown area, which floats between the junior high and the high school, would be an acceptable zone. And I just want to urge you, council members, to keep in mind that the part of our population that's the most vulnerable for a gateway drug like marijuana is the junior high and high school, not kids in daycare, not the kids at Sunday school. The kids that we have to worry about are the young adults that may not have the kind of judgment that we have here in this room. And lastly, I'd like to say, we're talking about the sources of revenue, we're talking about the cost, but I want you to consider the young man that was in the In-N-Out parking lot shooting up on the phone with his mom when he died. It's not going to show up in the DUIs. It probably will show up on the trips to the hospital by our police department, by our ambulance. And that's really what we should be looking at. And I think it's a tragedy, and I think we ought to try to avoid it in our town. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Thank you. I'm Don Clickard. I've lived in Atascadero since 1970. And Charles, I did the math, and it's about 50 years in Atascadero Unified School District, in the service of that district. This was the second part of my reason for being here. I kind of changed up a bit on what I had written here, because as I've listened to the conversation, and there's been some really interesting facts and some figures that are provided by staff, and I think that it's important that we listen to those. I want to talk to you a bit about Ricky, Jake, and Jeff, because in 2011, the Atascadero Greyhound Foundation was an organization that we were devoted primarily to the development of athletic facilities at the high school. But in 2011, Ricky and Jake and Jeff suffered from drug overdoses. At the church service for Ricky, it was pointed out that it was a new program in Atascadero that was going to be dedicated to the mitigation of the drug use of our adolescent population. And it came when Jeff, the third of those three guys that I mentioned, he was actually the first one. And his dad came to me afterward. He's on the board of Lighthouse, or Greyhound Foundation at the time. And he said, "Don, we have to do something." Well, the something became Lighthouse. And Lighthouse has been in existence as its own separate organization under that same nonprofit, but since 2011, doing what's best for kids, that's our goal. And I thank Mr. Zappas for doing a good lead for that, because it's important to us to know that we know marijuana is a gateway drug. We also know that marijuana is effective in the treatment of the problems that people have talked to you about here earlier today. But I'm opposed to the cannabis store in Atascadero, because so many people in this community have worked so hard to prevent the drug use of within our adolescent population. There are many avenues for drugs to find their way into our adolescent population, into our community, and we can't stop them all, and we never will. But we should limit the possibilities whenever we can. And we should not provide one more opportunity by allowing a cannabis dispensary in our town. Consider doing what's best for kids. And I appreciate your willingness to offer this time to us to speak. And I certainly respect the views of the people who have their reasons for favoring it. I wish we wouldn't do it.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Josh Cross, President and CEO of the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. Don Clickard, I have so much respect for you and the work you do at Lighthouse. Thank you for all that you are doing. The Chamber appreciates the opportunity to speak tonight regarding retail cannabis as a permitted business type in our city. Cannabis retail is already a legal and tightly regulated industry in California. Our neighboring cities of San Luis Obispo, Grover Beach, and Morro Bay have proven that it can operate safely, responsibly, and with strong community benefit. Atascadero residents already purchase cannabis, just not here. Delivery services from other cities currently generate about $32,000 in local tax revenue, while the bulk of those dollars go elsewhere. Allowing retail storefronts would enable Atascadero to retain that revenue and reinvest it into public safety, infrastructure, and youth programs. Based on nearby cities' experience, annual revenue could reach, well, $250,000 to $500,000, which is a meaningful contribution to our budget without raising taxes. Beyond the fiscal benefits, the public safety record from neighboring communities is encouraging. Police departments in Morro Bay, Grover Beach, and San Luis Obispo all report no measurable increase in crime after retail stores opened. These businesses operate under strict state and local requirements, which can be applied and customized to our community's specific needs. In addition, cities often require a community benefit program where retailers contribute directly to local initiatives like health education, youth engagement, and nonprofit work such as Lighthouse. And that's a model we can adopt here to ensure there's direct reinvestment into our community. Allowing retail cannabis is not about promoting usage. It's about recognizing a legitimate business sector, ensuring local control, and keeping Atascadero competitive. And I think if we were to go first, that Paso might think twice about going next. However, the Chamber also recognizes that this is a complex issue, and we intend to continue evaluating it carefully. While our board is generally supportive of allowing retail cannabis, there is not unanimous agreement. We believe it is important for Atascadero to learn the long-term experiences of communities of similar size before making a final decision. Some of the questions we hope to explore further include whether those communities have seen a cannabis-related emergency room visit or mental health incident increase, as well as potential concerns about public use, odor complaints, and the normalization of consumption in traditionally family-friendly areas such as Sunken Gardens, Lake Park, and sports fields. The Chamber is also interested in reviewing any available data on DUI traffic accidents involving drivers who test positive for THC, although Chief Suttles, thank you for touching on that tonight. As an organization that exists to support the business community, the Chamber believes it's essential to uphold the right of all legally operating businesses to conduct business in our city. We also recognize that cannabis businesses and family values should not be thought to be mutually exclusive, as many upstanding, responsible residents in our community use cannabis products safely and in moderation. Okay. Supporting legal enterprise does not mean compromising our standards or character. Atascadero can both be welcome legitimate businesses and continue to be a community known for its safety, family values, and strong sense of belonging. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is Jamie Jones. I'm a 27-year resident of Atascadero, which is almost half of my life. So haven't been here as long as Dawn, but I feel like I've been here for quite some time and raised my kids here. So I'm not here representing any particular person. I think some of you know that I have represented cannabis farms within the county unincorporated area, but I'm not here. We haven't represented retail cannabis storefront. Don't plan to, but just here talking as a resident. So I'm in support of retail cannabis. I'm not a user of recreational cannabis, but I see it as a choice. It's a legal product that I think our residents should have the ability to choose to spend their tax dollars in our community. And I think what the information has shown in the staff report is they are already purchasing cannabis product, but purchasing it in our neighboring cities and giving our tax dollars that we could have here, the benefit we could have here in Atascadero, giving that to San Luis and to Morro Bay and to Grover Beach. The numbers that were included in the staff report, I think it said, and I'm looking at North County in its entirety and not just Atascadero, 40% of Megan's customers are from North County, and I think Morro Bay was 27%. But if you look into those numbers, there's five other retail establishments that didn't give the percentage of customers that are coming from North County. So there are more. I think that the estimate of $500,000, I personally, and I'm not an economist, and I don't have the exact numbers, I don't have the facts, but I think it's going to be more. I think there's more of a demand out there than what we're thinking. And, you know, there's the notion, oh, Paso might be first. If Paso comes, then we're only going to get 250,000. We don't know that, but I think what we know is that we should be first, and we should compete with Paso, and we should be the ones to get the first retail cannabis store in our community so that maybe Paso doesn't get it. And then we do get the $500,000, maybe even $1 million. We can keep that tax money here. And then looking at, I see I'm running out of time, but if we're going to be looking at it, I think that community benefit program would be something really important to include so that we could give those additional funds to organizations like Lighthouse so we can do the education for the youth. The cannabis dispensaries, they aren't targeting the youth. They're targeting people over 21, legal age, to purchase a legal product. So I hope your council will consider moving this forward. I think it would be a good add to our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is James, and I'm a resident and a homeowner and a business owner in Atascadero. And thank you for the review of cannabis in our city and thinking about moving forward. On a commercial and a commerce sense, having the cannabis store would bring in some degree of revenue. There is also a city needs to bring in more retail jobs, expanded storefront offerings in Atascadero. And as I mentioned before, growing and increased business tax revenue. I appreciate the information that came in from Grover Beach and San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, looking at the retail shops have already been established and their track record. I think that is important to look at what exists in our county. On a very personal level, I have one of my sons, a business owner in San Luis Obispo, actually had migraine headaches and was able to get some cannabis deliveries and now is able to shop in San Luis Obispo. I also know a lot of people in North County that would prefer not to go down the grade to shop. And so I think it is a very fair thing to look at. And also having an aunt who benefited quite a bit from sleep and anxiety and was able to substitute some medicine that she had a lot of side effects for. And so I've seen some benefits there. And also a daughter that had some pain relief from a work-related. So I've personally seen some benefits and appreciate you taking the time to seriously consider this as part of the opportunities and offerings in our city. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, council and staff. My name is Megan Souza, and I own Megan's Organic Market Dispensary in San Luis Obispo in Goleta. And I wanted to share a couple of numbers with you tonight. 8,752 is the number of my customers who have Atascadero on their ID as their residence. So 8,752 residents of the city of Atascadero shop at my store, and I'm just one store, and that's about a third of the population of Atascadero. So Atascadero does use cannabis at a high rate, possibly higher than other places in the county, definitely higher than the state average. And I want to address a couple of things that came up. There have been several studies about the relationship between opioid deaths and cannabis legalization with really interesting results. It is the case that all of these studies concluded that opioid deaths decrease significantly when licensed cannabis dispensaries are present in the area. And also on the topic of youth use, a comprehensive study done in 2023 by the CDC did show that cannabis consumption by youth decreased with legalization in Colorado and Oregon. And a couple of other concerns that came up I want to address. There was a lot of mention about the cost of staff time. And I want to assure you that operators will be happy to pay the fees to cover the cost of staff time. In SLO, we pay around $26,000 for the application fee, which covers the cost of evaluating the security plans, processing all of the initial background checks, evaluating all of the financial plan, et cetera. And then we pay an annual $52,000 licensing fee, which pays for the ongoing cost of operating the program. And that covers the cost of our quarterly security inspections and our annual financial audit. And I will say the city of SLO originally had two dedicated cannabis detectives. Now they have one very, very, very part-time cannabis detective. And the city had initially had a lot of staff. And now they have one cannabis liaison. And I hope that she's part-time because we use very, very little of her time. There was also a question about who are these cannabis consumers. And I think it's really demonstrative to say that our top three SKUs at our dispensaries are low-dose CBN gummies that are used for sleep. So that's an example of who our customers are and why they're using cannabis.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Any other speakers? Yes, please come forward.
Hello. Good evening. Hope you all are still awake. These things are awful. Okay, here we go. My time's already started. I'm Jackie Fields. I spoke during the annual kind of board meeting when you guys were reviewing this originally. I am just really grateful that you continued to have that conversation. A lot of those points that I brought up about what we should look at, you guys are looking at. You have a great staff behind you. So I hope you guys know how lucky you are to have that. Most importantly, as someone who lives in Atascadero and runs a small business in Atascadero and raises my kids in Atascadero and doesn't want to go anywhere except stay in Atascadero because why would I go anywhere else? I drive down the grade to buy pot. If you want to know what people look like, they look like me. I have lost way more friends to alcohol and hard drugs than I've not lost one to marijuana. I know many people who use it, like myself, to manage stress, PTSD, and trauma. And those are the conversations that I have with my children, just like I do when I see people living on the streets. So we've demonized this industry for a very long time, unrightfully so. Kind of like burning witches at the stake. They just made beer people. Those dummies were drunk. They weren't under spells. So that was just my beer reference for October. Hope you liked it. And one of the biggest things I think about being able to spend my money here is also not buying it on the black market. Wanting to find that resource for myself, knowing that it is something that helps me, and I've been doing that a long time. I much prefer to know exactly what I'm getting, exactly who I'm getting it from, that it's been tested, that it is safe. There's a lot of bad product out there, not just in marijuana, but in every industry, right? And so when we stand behind, hey, we want people to be knowledgeable and informed and cared for, that does say something. I also want to say I don't love delivery service because it reminds me that I should be kind of hidden in the dark. I enjoy going to the store and seeing people and reminding myself that I am not alone in finding this resource, that there are other people who are struggling probably in their daily lives or use this just as a fun thing to do. But at the end of the day, they're people that look and act and talk just like me and you, and you've seen that tonight. And those are your constituents. And so thank you guys for continuing to have this conversation. And I look forward to that tax revenue coming into our community. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Please come forward.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, council members. My name is Stephen Fagan. I'm 35 years old, and I've lived here in North County most of my life. I'm here tonight to speak in support of allowing cannabis retail in Atascadero and to share why I believe that SloCal Roots would be a great fit for this community. Right now, Atascadero has no legitimate or immediate access to cannabis legally. Consumers have to drive to Grover Beach or San Luis Obispo or Guadalupe, or end up taking their chances with unregulated products, as we've discussed this evening. That doesn't make sense, not for a town like Atascadero, that's so thoughtful, practical, and cares about doing things the right way. I've watched what SloCal Roots has done across the Central Coast. It's different from the larger corporate cannabis commodities that we've seen in the area as well. They run clean professional shops and they give back to our community. And, you know, that's something that's really important as we consider, the different businesses that could take place here in Atascadero. This is all very exciting. One thing that really stands out with SloCal Roots is their compassion program. That provides medicine to cancer and hospice patients. I personally know people who have benefited from this program, and that's something that it sticks with you when you see it in person. What I believe we need in Atascadero is operators who care about people, who follow the rules, and who are in it for the right reasons, to be honest. SloCal Roots has already shown that they can do that. They hire local, they follow each regulation carefully, and they treat cannabis like the legitimate medicine that it is. I just want to let you know that Atascadero has the chance to do this right, to give people safe access, create local jobs, and keep tax dollars right here in town instead of sending them south. Another thing we've discussed this evening. I encourage the council to move forward with a program that welcomes responsible local operators, people who understand the community and want to be a part of it. I just want to also say that I appreciate your time for listening to a community member who wants safe local access and a fair chance for good people to do good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. My name is Austin Canella, and I'm the owner of SoCal Roots, a locally owned cannabis company with three successful retail stores here on the Central Coast, one in San Luis Obispo, one in Grover Beach, and one in Guadalupe. But before I was a business owner, I was just another Atascadero kid. I went to San Gabriel Elementary, Atascadero Junior High, and I graduated from Atascadero High School. My family and I still own several commercial properties here, and Atascadero will always feel like home to me. And I'm here tonight because we would love to bring SloCal Roots to Atascadero, because I believe the city has the opportunity to create a model cannabis program that reflects the values of this community while ensuring the long-term success of this industry. Across the Central Coast, we've seen what works, but we've also seen what doesn't work. Lompoc, for example, opened its doors to dozens of cannabis operators all at once. The result was an oversaturated market with storefronts closing and businesses unable to sustain operations. The intention was good, but without limits, the system becomes unworkable. My hope is that Atascadero learns from that. I would encourage the city to limit retail licenses to just one or two operators, and this ensures that those who invest here can succeed, hire locally, and give back to this community without being undermined by excessive competition. It's also critical that the city establish proper zoning. I think the use of overlays is a good tool for that, and locations that make sense for access, safety, and community compatibility. Good zoning helps avoid future conflicts, and it keeps businesses where they belong, operating responsibly and discreetly. I'd also urge the council to adopt a merit-based application rather than a lottery process or trying to limit it with setback requirements. You can use a third party such as HDL to grade and rank these applications. And this would allow the council to choose operators with a proven compliance history, financial stability, and true local roots. People who understand the regulations and have a track record of community engagement and are here for the long haul. Finally, I want to caution against the overtaxation of this emerging industry. Even the most responsible operators struggle to compete with the illicit market, which pays no taxes, follows no safety rules, and doesn't invest in the community. If rates are too high, customers simply return to unlicensed sellers, and the city loses both the public safety benefits and the revenue it hoped to gain. At SoCal Roots, we built our success on community involvement, compliance, and local hiring. We sponsor charitable programs, support local nonprofits, and create good jobs. That's the kind of partnership we'd like to bring here. Tascadero has a chance to do this right, to create a small, sustainable, community-minded program that generates revenue, supports local families, and keeps Santa Cruz sales safe and above board. So thank you for your time and your thoughtful consideration. And I look forward to hopefully working with the city to make this vision a reality.
Right. Thank you for your comments. It looks like we have one more speaker. Anybody else wishing to speak, please approach the podium.
Good evening. My name is Alec. I am a father and a husband, and I have a 2-year-old at home. I've lived here in Atascadero for 5 years, and if I get my way, I'm going to retire here. And I kind of wanted to speak tonight as an outsider. I do not use marijuana. My wife doesn't. And of course, I would be horrified if my daughter got a hold of it before she was of age. That being said, with the regulatory environment of California, and especially all what I've already come to know about Atascadero, I am not afraid, and I support this measure. I feel like as a parent, it's primarily my job to make sure that my daughter is safe and that the regulations in place empower me to do that. And that beyond that, I don't think it is the government's job to get in the way of responsible people choosing to use a product that can be totally used safely and even beneficially. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. One last chance, seeing nobody else approach, I am going to close public comment on this item, bring it back to council. I'm going to start with myself because I did have some questions, you know, based partly on the comments and based partly on other council questions. There's been discussion of community benefit, which some other cities do, and that is to say that in exchange for being granted a dispensary license, some cities require cannabis dispensary operators to provide some sort of community benefit over and above the revenue that they're, you know, providing to the community. And I don't know how that is established. It looks like maybe in some cases it's a set amount. But using that example, if the council so chose, it could do that and say, hey, you know, you're going to have to contribute a certain amount of money to prevention efforts, i.e. an organization like Lighthouse. That would be a plausible thing that the council could direct, correct?
Yes, and in fact, on page 48 of your staff report at the bottom, I've left in it a section there that's in our existing zoning, 9-17.008 of our existing code. It says that conditions of approval may require that a commercial cannabis activity be subject to conditions that mitigate potential impacts of the sale of cannabis products in the community. So that's exactly that. So basically, if, for example, this allowance was in place and a use permit came forward, the ordinance already has that provision, which essentially is a community benefit program. Got so it gives you the option of where specifically you wanted to place that condition.
To be clear, though, we don't require such a contribution from liquor stores, smoke shops, and places like that, correct?
No.
That sell intoxicating and health-damaging products.
This is unique in that.
Correct. This would be unique to the cannabis industry. Correct. Okay. But
yes,
we could do it. We can do it, and other places have done it. Okay. And then we've talked a lot about revenue. To be clear, for either the city manager or the admin services director, the revenue collected, it goes into the general fund. So it could be used for anything the council designates. So the council could designate that it goes to public safety, like more law enforcement officers, or any other public purpose.
Yes.
Within the city, correct? Yeah. Just to be clear on that. Okay. What is the What is the premise or the purpose behind having an overlay with distance limits? I mean, if you establish an area that is allowed to have these, why would you care if they're 500 feet apart right next door, or, you know, 1500 feet apart or a mile apart?
It's one method of limiting the number of retailers without actually limiting the number. For example, if you said, I'm going to have this overlay zone, and this overlay zone is only 1500 feet long, and you said, okay, we allow only one cannabis retailer for every 1500 feet, then you've automatically limited it to one retailer within that particular overlay zone. And if you only had two of those overlay zones in your city, then you've automatically limited the number of retailers without having a merit program or a ranking or any of those other things that are often legally challenged. So it's just a methodology of limiting the number and having less saturation in your community. That's all that is. It's an example that staff brought forward, and it's one of several opportunities that could be done to sort of facilitate that limitations.
And did HDL or anybody else in your comp, speaking with other communities, though, talk about what's viable? Because, I mean, I look at Grover Beach has four because they were first in on this. San Luis Obispo, a much bigger city, only has two. And a city our size could at most support two, maybe three of these in a stretch. Wouldn't the market decide how many a community would support?
We've heard from Lompoc that it hasn't. So, and we haven't done that level of analysis with HDL. We could hire them to do such an endeavor. But what we've learned is we've looked at these other communities and seen how things have shaken out. I will tell you this, regardless of the number of retailers a community has, the revenue seems flat. So if you have five retailers, you're going to get the same revenue as you've had one. But your administrative and your staff costs might be higher if you have a larger number of stores. Of course, your fees would be commensurate.
Right.
These are all things to think about.
Sure. And all of these things, though, are not things that we have to address this evening. We really just need to address whether we want to provide staff guidance to proceed forward, because all of these things, you know, where and how they're selected, or whether they're just allowed based on criteria, et cetera, all of those things could be addressed at a future point in time.
Exactly. This is an evolutionary process, and this is one step in that process. And if you say go, continue on, we would be asking you some details about which way to go, how to go, when to come back. And there's other phases of this process. So exactly. There's more information that needs to be garnered. We need a help of a consultant such as HDL to give us some more financial data. And we would keep building this. We'd come back with some finer examples should council choose to go that direction.
And I realize, again, we can discuss all those details later, but I want to ask a question that was asked of me. I assume that each of these places has a security guard, because I went to Grover Beach and to San Luis Obispo last Friday, and I want to show something that when we get to discussion, but you could require discrete waiting areas where people aren't waiting out in public to enter these facilities, correct?
You can require any number of provisions.
You could screen
performance standards.
You could screen waiting areas or what have you. Yeah, got it. Okay, what I'd like to do here is see if any other council members have any other questions, and then we'll enter into discussion. But so please, questions if you have them of staff based on, you know, coming from as a result of public comment.
I have a question. Would the mayor be willing to let us take a short rest break before we go dive into the discussion?
A restroom break is in order. Okay, let's do that. We'll be back in 7 minutes at, 7 minutes, 8:50.
AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton. Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will resume in just a short time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again. We are resolved that the method of consultation shall be the method adopted to deal with any other questions that may concern our two countries, and we are determined to continue our efforts to remove possible sources of difference and thus to contribute to assure the peace of Europe.
Just about everyone knows the story of how Jackie Robinson first broke into the major leagues, ending decades of racially segregated play. But few recall how Robinson's career ended in 1956 as the Dodgers and Yankees were locked in a World Series rematch. Don Larson had just pitched a perfect game, and that gave the Yankees a 3-2 series lead. Now Game 6, played at Brooklyn's Ebbets Field, and it was scoreless into the bottom of the 10th. Then the Dodgers mounted a rally, putting runners on first and second.
And of course the crowd senses this tremendous situation here.
There were two outs. Robinson Yankee pitcher Bob Turley was on the mound. And up to the plate stepped Jackie Robinson. Bob Wolf describes what happened next.
Here comes the pitch, and it comes in wide. And the count now is 1-1 to Jackie Robinson. Billy Martin ran over to second base, trying to bluff Gilliam back to the bag there, but there was no throw made. Slaughter's playing far back there in left field, and Mantle over in left center. Carey has moved over closer to the line, and Turley back off the mound for the moment. Now the right-hander's ready. The count is 1-1. Gilliam, hands on hips, leads off second base. A little further now. Turley looks back. Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch, and there goes a line drive to left field. Slaughter's after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gilliam scoring. Brooklyn wins. Is being pummeled by his teammates, congratulated as he lined one out to left field. Slaughter leaped for the ball. It was over his outstretched glove out up against that left field wall. Gilliam scored from second base, and the Brooklyn Dodgers win here in this home tent with a tremendous demonstration here as Jackie Robinson rose to the challenge. As you know, in the eighth inning, the same challenge, and he popped up, but this time after the intentional walk to Duke Snyder, Robinson came through, lacing one out to left field. Gilliam scored, and that's it in the ball game.
Jackie Robinson's clutch hit won the game 1-0 and tied the World Series 3 games apiece. The Yankees would go on to win Game 7, after which Jackie Robinson retired from baseball. His World Series game winner was the final hit of a great and heroic career.
While I be seated, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we start, I got two announcements I want to read off to you. The deacons wish that whoever keeps writing, "Meet me in the basement," on the back of the hymn books would cut it out, because everybody that goes down there tracks mud all over the church. Amen. And the deacons also wish that whoever keeps putting the frog in the baptismal pool would cut that out, because everybody's getting warts from it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, preacher went a-hunting. It was on a Sunday morning. Now, Coast was again his religion, but he took his gun along. He shot himself some very fine quail and one old measly hide. And then on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Well, that bear marched out in the middle of the road, and he waltzed to the preacher, you see. Well, the preacher, he got so excited, he clumb a persimmon tree. Well, the bear, he sat down upon the ground, and the preacher climbed down on a limb. He cast his eyes to the God in the skies, and these words he says to him. Oh, Lord, didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Also deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the three Hebrew children
from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Well, oh Lord, if you can't have me, for goodness sakes, don't you have that bear.
Yeah!
Well, that preacher set up in that tree, some say that hit us all night. Uh-huh. Along about daybreak, he says, oh Lord, if you don't have that bear, then you're gonna see one awful fight.
Uh-huh.
Well, just as he said it, the limb let go, and the preacher, he come floating down.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a sight to see him just before he hit the ground.
Uh-huh.
He struck old earth a cutting right and left. He did put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
Before he could do much, that bear grabbed him, squeezed him a little too tight.
Uh-huh.
Well, the preacher, he lost his hunting knife, but the bear held on with a vim. So one more time he cast his eyes to the God in the skies, and these words he says to him. Oh, Lord, didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Also deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, so the good book do declare. Well, oh Lord, if you can't have me, for goodness sakes, don't you have that bear.
I could have council members take their seat.
AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We are back, and we are now ready to have council discussion and, deliberations and motions. And what I'd like to do, though, is I wanted to make a couple comments first, and I'd sent a couple pictures to the clerk that I asked if she could load those. As I mentioned, I went to Grover Beach last Friday and went into one dispensary and spent 20 minutes grilling the manager with questions, as I'm known to do. Do we have those available? Okay. Okay, so I actually went inside this dispensary, and this is in an industrial area, and I was told later by the Grover Beach city manager that this was had been a rundown industrial building. And the little building on the left is where you enter and show your ID and then are allowed to go through. You can kind of see a walkway on the left that's fenced off, and then you enter the place it has all kinds of stuff in there. And one thing I would note, by the way, there was no odor in the place at all. I mean, it smelled like this room does right now, and which is nothing, by the way, if you're watching at home. To be clear, that yeah, I should have been more specific, I guess. To be clear, this room smells very nice. I mean, I was actually a little surprised there was no odor at all in the place. And so anyway, I asked a whole bunch of questions about their operation there. And so then I decided I didn't need to go into all the others, but I would drive by all the others in Grover Beach. So if you could go to the next photo, because there's a point to be made here. So I pulled into this address. I didn't really know where it was, so I parked. And then I say, this is the sign that says NHC. That's the dispensary. And you can kind of see it's in an office park. And, you know, there's no, you notice there's nobody waiting. All I did see people go in and out. And it's just a sign that with the name of the place. And I understand, I've looked, in our staff report indicates these places, they don't, you don't allow cannabis leaves on signage or anything like that. But then if you show the next picture, as I left, I drove through the parking lot. And I saw this right next door to in the same building. And that says Flips Gymnastics. I thought that's interesting. And then to show the next photo, I drove around the parking lot, a U-shaped parking lot, and went out. And this is a dance studio. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Those are typically frequented by kids. And so I went online and looked up these two businesses. And sure enough, all their pictures are of little girls in leotards doing, you know, gymnastics and dance. And so I asked the Grover Beach city manager, I said, what's the story on these? How did these businesses end up in the same business park right next door or across the parking lot from a cannabis dispensary? Were they always there or what happened? And he said, well, when the cannabis dispensary was approved in that location, the gymnastics place was there. And there was a dance studio there. The dance studio was vehemently opposed to the dispensary going in. And they ended up leaving. The gymnastics place later left, moved to another location in Grover Beach on their main street. But then, since then, the gymnastics business has come back and the new dance studio has opened up. So here you have two youth-oriented, family-oriented businesses that have deliberately chosen to co-locate in the same business park with a cannabis dispensary. And to me, that was very telling, because when I hear concerns about, it's going to be near kids or whatever, and it's like, wait, these are parents that are dropping their kids off. And according to the people I talked to, you know, probably some of them are going to the dispensary. But the point being, they feel very, very comfortable dropping their children off right next to this facility. And the point is because this is a very boring business. There's nothing exciting about it. It just serves a clientele that are interested in this product. And I just thought that was very telling in terms of, you know, some of the things we hear people express concerns about, that these businesses would, you know, make a decision, say, no, I'm going to move back in right next door to a cannabis dispensary. So I thought that was telling. And then just for edification, the next two photos are of the two other, I'm going to say, rather blasé-looking dispensaries in an industrial zone in Grover Beach. And you can show the next one. So anyway, I obviously didn't go into these others. And then I did go into the one to Megan's Organic Market in San Luis Obispo. And when I went in, I was the only person showing my ID. When I went out, there were four or five people waiting in line. And that's why I asked the question about, you can require, you know, screening or whatever, if you don't want that kind of look. But it was just, it was very, compelling to me to see those businesses there. And that when I talked to Grover Beach city manager, the entire conversation was centered around, this is, you know, they were first in, so they required a lot of things, did a lot of things, but it was just, it's just not a big deal. It's just another business. I've listened tonight, I've listened to some of the concerns, and it's hard for me to move off that, I guess. Because the other thing that strikes me is I like to describe myself as being pro-business. And, you know, we in Atascadero don't have great sales tax revenue compared to other communities on a per capita basis. But we are literally telling our residents, a certain number of them that want to use this product, get in your car, drive over the grade, spend your money in another town. And for me, that makes no business sense. It makes no sense in terms of providing services to our residents, because we celebrate that we have a lot more new restaurants in our city. we celebrate that there's a rooftop bar on Cielo's serving alcohol.